everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. We are off and running on Friday, December 27th, 2024. Tom Fairbanks, my buddy, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting, we're in central Tucson, in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, part of the Bustos Media Broadcast Center, where we now have five radio stations under one roof. This one is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. And next week, we'll begin our 15th year with our radio program and my 37th year in Tucson radio and TV. We have our worldwide live listening podcasts of the show at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, that is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Sean McCluskey does a great job over there, and we thank Sean for his participation and sponsorship of our program. Our media partners, we've got three of them now where they have our logo prominently displayed, so you can click on the Buckmaster Show logo at TucsonSentinel.com. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, that's our friend Dan Scheer. And then our newest friend, Caitlin Schmidt, has started an online news service called Tucson Spotlight. Friday Focus interview today, Vince Leach is here, a member-elect. So he's Arizona State Senator-elect representing District 17. He will be assuming office January the 13th. A Republican, Senator Leach won the general election November the 5th. He served as the state senator pro tem from 2021 to 2023. And before joining the state Senate, he represented District 11 in the state House from 2015 to 2019. So, Senator Leach, Senator-elect Leach, great to have you on the program. It's like you didn't get off the bus yesterday. This is not your first rodeo going back to Phoenix, right?
Right. Well, thank you, Bill. And 37 years.
37 years.
37 years.
22 years on Arizona Illustrated. Then I decided, you know, and this digital TV stuff, every little blemish shows. I don't need that. You know, I'm going to go back to where I started in this business a million years ago as an intern at WIND Chicago in 1967. And so I'm back in radio. It's gone very well. We've had a lot of loyal sponsors, and I want to, I'm blessed that I can still do this and what I love every day.
Well, we had a chance to talk before we went live. You and I have been on the phone several times.
Yes.
and we've talked. But today I'm in studio because I had a chance, and my schedule permitted me to be in, and my wife said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to the voice of Tucson, in Southern Arizona."
Yeah.
You know, Bill has been on the radio and been the voice of, and it's varied. What you do,
yeah,
is so varied for your listenership, and thank you for serving. Thank you for doing this.
Well, it's like a variety show. It's not about all politics, or it's not all about this or that. I try to kind of mix it up. Four segments usually. Friday is different. We kind of focus on one newsmaker, but it's a little bit of science here, a little bit of the arts. So, you know, a variety show.
It's like a box of chocolates.
Yeah, you never know which one you're gonna have. You know, we had General Maxwell on the show yesterday, and I was telling him and the listeners that you were going to be my guest on Friday. So I asked him, because of course he and his lobbyists are very interested about what goes on at the legislature, and I said, "General, what do you see are the marquee issues that jump out at you?" And he went with education, water, and the economy. And he started with education because I guess there's a renewal that's got to come up, right?
Yeah. That's the prop. It's known as Prop 123. It's been renewed once when I was that would have been 2017, 2018, that we renewed it. and it has to be renewed. And it basically, it's a formula that gets additional money in the K-12. There was a program that came forward last year. There was a disagreement on how much money they would how much money they would take from the corpus of state lands. Everything from Treasurer Yee wanted, you know, somewhere about 5%, 4.5%, 5%. The legislature wanted something higher than that, not status quo, but a little bit higher. And Governor Hobbs was up 7-8%, and it ran into a wall. I'm not sure. Not being there, you never know. Mm-hmm. You know that it got stopped, but you don't know the whys and the wherefores because you're not, you know, you're not having coffee
right.
at 7 o'clock at night in the hallway and mm-hmm. said, "Did you know this and do mm-hmm. that?" That has to be high on the list. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. Water, absolutely. We're in the middle of negotiations on the Colorado River PAC.
Is going to sunset in 2026.
That's extremely important. I know that the general serves on one of those committees.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I was talking with the realtors. I've also talked with the home builders. That's key for them. I mean, mm-hmm. You have to have water. Now, the interesting thing is that we have water. It's not always in the right place. We may have to do something to get it from point A to point B, mm-hmm. but we have water. We have only 17.5% or 18% of the land is held privately.
Mm-hmm.
The rest is either.
I didn't realize it's that much federal.
Federal and state.
State control.
BLM. And our sovereign nations.
So it's less than 20%?
And Bill, if you think about that, we're trying to drive a major economy off a very small private sector. And so we're trying to, you know, stretch it as much as we can. You have to be careful of how far you stretch it. But there's water in certain places. I know with the last PAC that we did, I was still in the House, so that had to be in 18 or 19. We were talking about moving water and building a 3-mile canal, not unlike that of CAP, to move water from one place to the other. That can be done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit frustrated in that we had $1 billion in the budget that we put in it would have been for the budget year 23.
Yeah.
And we divided it up because if you give somebody $1 billion all at once, it's probably going to, mm-hmm. it'll be spent. But
I remember that. That was $1 billion earmarked for water-related
exactly.
items.
That money disappeared.
Where'd it go?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
$1 billion disappears,
it was
right?
Broke up in three segments, in year one, year two, and year three. In year one, the year one disappeared, and the outward budget still showed it. The next budget, it was gone.
That's weird.
It's weird. it's really. Did you ever have the opportunity to meet Speaker Rusty Bowers?
Yes.
Okay, that was his program. I can remember the day that he walked in to the small budget meeting and said, "This is what we're going to do."
Yeah. Yeah.
And we did it.
Senator Leach, we've got a caller on the line who would like to speak with you, caller Matt. So we'll hear what Matt has to say with Senator-elect Vince Leach. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, first, Senator Leach, congratulations on your election again.
Thank you.
That wasn't an easy task. John McLean definitely put some money into his race.
He was a very worthy competitor. I didn't know John that well, but we had met and seen each other at locations, and we were on a panel together, and so I saw him, and I still grieve for his family and the demise that he had right after soon after the election.
He ran as a Democrat, but his background, you know, was business, and I didn't know him personally, and I didn't even know him professionally, and I was looking forward to hopefully someday, you know, hooking up and saying hello. And it was a tragic loss because he definitely tried to be civic-minded and run. And, you know, you've been in this business a long time, and he, for all intents and purposes, was a complete newcomer as far as I could tell, because I really didn't know anybody that knew him, you know, that well. But again, absolutely concur. Thank him for running, and my condolences to his family. Very quickly, back to business, water. I had an occasion in my past to be associated with the Grand Canyon Institute, which was George Cunningham's nonprofit and think tank. I don't know if you remember, they are still very active today. And I know they have at times reached out to you and tried to coordinate on some activities. Especially, I think now water will be one that needs to be attended to.
Go ahead, Matt, with your question, please. Yeah.
How would you say we move forward on our water supply, whether it be Colorado, which I think is a very tenuous, or you know, existence, because we don't know what the upper basin states are going to do.
Okay, go ahead.
So, yeah, thanks, Matt. Thanks for the question. We have to, when we put the money aside 2 years, almost 3 years ago now, in the budget, was to explore any and all sources of water, be that in the state and be out of state. There's a lot of water that goes to waste in the upper Midwest. I know that, and people say, well, that's a long ways away. Well, we have to remember Tucson lives on water that comes from the Colorado through a canal system. So we have to do it that way. We also have to look. And people kind of say, "Well, I'm not sure that's the way to go," but desalinization has got to be on now. Whether we do it here in the state, or whether we do it in conjunction with a California, or we do it in conjunction with a Mexico, I'm not pushing any one of these. I'm just saying that's where we need to explore. It's a little bit difficult here in Arizona because we've got high salt content already in our soil, and we have to do something with the brine. The other thing that you have to look at with desalinization is the amount of power that it takes. And I think we're close to getting small modular reactors up and running, where we don't have, and they'll run on the spent rods that we have at Palo Verde, which is a good thing. So we have all these sources of potential, and we have to look at them to see where we, and then water within the state. I don't know if you listened to the first part of the show. I was telling Bill, you know, the Arizona, state of Arizona runs on about 18% private land. And so we have a lot of public land. We have a lot of federal land that was supposed to come back to us, never has. That's another topic. And then we have a lot of tribal land, BLM land, and there's water underneath that. We also have to look, and I say this very carefully. I see that yesterday I saw that Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, signed a bill that said, China can't raise any crops. It can't use any water from these South Dakota. Arizona has very, very good land protection laws, and that the water goes with the landowner. We have some arches to cross there, but those are some that come to mind real, real quick.
But Saudi Arabia has had this active operation for alfalfa growing
Yes.
up near Kingman. And a lot of people don't think that's a good idea, but they're not really breaking any law, are they?
No, they're not breaking any law, but I think, and I don't know this for sure, I'm not up there, so yeah. I think Attorney General Mays shut that down, or is in the process.
Or is trying to.
Legally, anyway.
She's trying to take action
so,
to shut
so
it down.
So those are the things, along with, I mean, and it's going to take money. It's going to take money, but for growth, stability, and let's face it, we all like to take a shower in the morning or every couple of days.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Senator-elect Vince Leach is with us, and Matt had called us on 790-2040. That is our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Folks are always willing, and I hope they do. If you've got any questions for Senator-elect Leach, please call in. But right now I want to talk about our favorite bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's, for a wide variety of European-style breads and pastries, open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast at 6:30 Tuesday through Sunday. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com, and they've still got Christmas cookies still available, packaged up and ready to go. So they've got some holiday treats for you for New Year's. We'll take a break right here. More with Senator-elect Vince Leach. Our Friday Focus interview back right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. State Senator-elect Vince Leach is going back to the Capitol. He was elected November the 5th, representing District 17. Senator-elect Vince Leach, District 17, a little bit of Pinal County, right? You've got
a little bit of Pinal, Saddlebrook.
Where you reside.
Where yes. I reside. Eagle Crest, which is a neighbor of, right across the line, it's a neighbor of Saddlebrook and goes up to Saddlebrook Ranch. And then it goes out on the other side of 79. It goes mm-hmm. up to Florence. Virtually a non-populated area, but it's a large precinct, mm-hmm. not many people.
Yeah. So had an interesting message from a listener sending a message to me on Facebook, and folks are always willing and able to do that, and we welcome that. This listener says that the cotton that is grown here in Pinal County and Pima County, much of it goes straight to China. So China is using our water indirectly. And the listener points out that 80% of our water use is agriculture. I'm not sure if it's exactly 80, but it's a lot.
Yeah, I don't know that percentage. Yeah. I should know that percentage.
Might be a little less than that.
A little bit less than that. And there are bills going through from ag to urban as we switch over. We have more people coming in. The listener was correct in that it's indirectly, it is going to China. But it is also true that the corn and soybeans that are raised in Illinois and Indiana in the ag upper Midwest that get shipped with grain deals all over the world use our water.
Yeah.
The other thing is it's very hard to, if we tell people where they can sell and where they can't sell,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a road that we're really have to explore before we start limiting. It's one thing to limit a product that's harmful.
Yes.
It's another thing to limit and say to somebody, you can't sell your product to this group because the banks rely on it, the car dealers rely on it, Casa Grande, where a lot of the cotton is grown, relies on it on the ag community. But it is an interesting point.
It is
true.
It's worth bringing up, and I'm glad the listener did. Boy, speaking of Casa Grande, back in the day, my first time in Tucson, living in Tucson in the late 60s, boy, that drive up to Phoenix was basically, once you left Tucson, there'd be a little bit of growth in the middle of the drive, right? And then it was cotton fields.
Yes.
Now it's almost an entire corridor of urban growth.
My first district, I had was LD 11, and from Saddlebrook, I went up to Maricopa.
Yeah.
And it was all, you know, and I had a piece of Casa Grande, but I went around that.
Yeah.
And it was all cotton. It was cotton and a lot of corn. For silage, for ensilage for our dairies here in Arizona.
All right. At the beginning of our interview, we talked about three target areas for the legislature in 2025, and that session will begin in really a matter of weeks. We touched a little bit on education. We'll go back to that in a minute. We've touched on water. Now, the third leg of the stool has to be jobs and the economy.
It does. And we as a state, we don't make jobs. We don't produce jobs. People will think, now we can set an environment that assists in getting in the growth. And we had tremendous growth. Before COVID, we had 300 people a day moving into Arizona. Most of them up in the valley, but most of them were going to work because our unemployment didn't go up. People were being put to work, and COVID really... Well, mm-hmm. COVID did a number of things.
So the in-migration really
changed. And we're still in the top eight of in-migration year in and year out.
But still changed dramatically.
Yes, yeah. It changed. Well, people just aren't moving and they don't have jobs and whatever. So let's hope that we don't go through that again. So, yes.
Budget.
So the budget, I have a concern with the budget. And it just came up in the last month or so. And I'm happy that the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, I think is the real name of it, but the acronym is DOGE, D-O-G-E. I've been talking to some people in...
That's
in,
the Musk deal, yeah.
Yeah, and Vivek, those two.
Yeah.
There's some talk that While there may be some cutting visually and programs that go away, I see that one of the Rand Paul the other day saw $1 trillion that he could cut very easily. But what my concern is, and I think we all should be concerned and be cognizant of the fact that a cut is not a cut if you transfer it to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
If you transfer it to someone else, in other words, a shift. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to be cognizant as this moves forward in Washington, D.C. I think we all know, no matter what side of the ledger you're on, we never quite know what's going to come out of Washington, D.C.
Right, right.
And what may look good as far as a cut back there or a reduction back there may not actually be, when it comes here, it may be coming to the state to pick up. And you know, and I can't name them right off the top of my head, but there are programs that are running right now that are funded by the federal government. I would say that there's some good programs, and all of a sudden you're going to eliminate or shrink those. There's going to be tremendous pressure on all governments, local, county, and state.
And you're saying, I'm hearing you say, you believe it could this could trickle down to even the county level or the city level. Yeah, go ahead.
The state of Arizona, and I don't have the latest numbers because I haven't been up there. I should have known this before I came in. But we run on about $50 billion total.
Mm-hmm.
And that we expend every year. The general fund, which the legislature has say over, only is $18 billion. The rest comes from other sources, mainly the federal government.
All right, midway point of the Buckmaster Show. State Senator-elect Vince Leach is with us and joining us now from TucsonSentinel.com, where he is senior reporter Paul Ingram. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you today?
Doing well. And I do, a listener has sent me we were talking about agriculture in Arizona. Here's the figure. 74%, I knew that 80% was a little high. 74% of the available water supply now in Arizona is devoted to agriculture. But from the state agriculture department points out it has been as high as 90%.
And I think one of the things, and I don't know if that article includes that, but if you look at our water usage in the 50s and the 60s and our water usage now, we're using less water than we did back then. There have been movement,
sure,
to water conservation, yeah, and our Aggies. Yeah.
And it has paid off, the water conservation efforts.
And our Aggies are doing things to cut down on water usage.
All right, let's bring in Paul Ingram. Paul, you're with State Senator-elect Vince Leach.
So tell me a little bit about what things you're looking forward in doing in the state legislature through the next year.
Yeah, so we already touched on a couple.
Sure.
One was when we got halfway through education.
Yeah.
And Prop 123, I don't know if you're familiar with that Prop 123, but it's a major funding mechanism for schools. That has to be renewed. It runs out in 26. Number two is water, and we spent a fair amount of time on water. Mm-hmm. We have to find sources. We have to put the money back in that we put in the 23 budget that somehow is not there anymore. We have to look for all water sources outside of Arizona and inside of Arizona, and maybe even go to desalinization now that small modular reactors are coming online, and because they take a huge amount of power. I'm told that if we went to desalinization right now, like in Buckeye, where they have a lot of salty water, mm-hmm, they have a lot of brine, it would take the equivalent of the pad at Palo Verde being filled up. That would be difficult to get through D.C.
The federal government, of course, did experiments with the Yuma desalinization plant, and that project has never really moved forward in
and
part
yet,
because of the power requirement.
And yet Israel runs almost all on desalinization. There's going to be a time when water is buy water, okay? Buy water. There we come. And then budget. We have to make sure that our budget's in line, that we don't overspend. And I think where you came in, was we were talking about Doge back in D.C. Mm-hmm. If they cut something and run programs out, there are going to be people that want these programs that were effective programs. Not all of them are, and some can go away, but there will be people knocking on everybody's doors to say, this needs to be continued. That will become a responsibility of state, county, and local to take a look at.
And then, Paul, of course, immigration is going to be a big one, right?
Yeah, I think so. And, I mean, the legislature, of course, put 314 to the voters. Are there other things that the legislature is going to want to do in terms of border immigration?
But let me talk about 314, because sure. I checked this the other day. I wanted to know, and I called our JLBC, Joint Legislative Budget Committee, head of that. He's been there like for 40 years, and he knows where everything is. I said, how much money has been set aside for that prop? Now, people will tell you, well, Vince, that prop doesn't go through unless the Texas program goes through, is approved by the courts. That's true to a point, but the fentanyl portion is alive and well.
Right.
And we can go with that. I'm told that the border sheriffs have already requested $100 million to go after that. That's not in the budget. And I am a little short in my billfold right now.
Who's asked for $100 million? I mean, is that from Pinal? Is that from Cochise?
All the border sheriffs.
Wow, $100 million they asked for?
Yeah.
Whoa. This is the first I've heard that.
Sorry. Yeah. $10 million.
$10 million. Okay.
Oh, right. $10 million.
You know, when you get into government, still, these numbers.
I know.
But anyway, and I live in Pinal, mm-hmm. and we consider ourselves border, a border county because of the traffic that goes up I-10. Now, we were talking about a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Refresh me where you were.
Well, you said that they were going to give $10 million, that the border sheriffs had asked for $10 million, and I was wondering who specifically that was.
I think it came from Yuma. The article, Ray Stern, do you know Ray Stern?
Yeah.
He published an article in the last couple of days. That's where I got it from.
Okay.
All right. So how that all is going to play out is a huge question mark, isn't it?
Well, that's why I actually enjoy going back. Uh-huh. Because I've got, I met with some people yesterday that they're lobbying me to run some bills, and I could talk about things that happened back. And there was one bill that, golly, was back in 2016. The memory was jogging. I said, we tried that. I know where to go to find answers. Mm-hmm. If people call, if they have a problem with government or something's not running smooth, I know where to call. But I also know the internal workings. I know where to call in JLBC to find out where the money goes. Mm-hmm. I know the state auditor mm-hmm. who reports, by the way.
You have this institutional memory.
I have the institutional knowledge.
Yeah.
And while I'm generally in favor of term limits, mm-hmm. I think you have to be, I think somewhere between 50 and 80 years, you probably should be term limited.
All right.
But you got to be careful, because if you term limit too soon, mm-hmm. all you're going to have is the lobbyist community and the staffers mm-hmm. running. That's
all right. Before we let you go, and Paul, before I give it back to you, I was just curious if you had heard about Kavanaugh. Senator Kavanaugh is going to be running a bill that would, in effect, make panhandling in Arizona illegal on the street medians. Had you heard about that? This panhandling.
Well, before Paul goes, I will tell you that he's now senator. He goes back and forth, but good guy. Yeah. But he runs them every year.
This bill he runs.
Yeah, he runs. He runs something along that
about the panhandle.
Because
aren't there legal limits already on panhandling on street corners? I feel like there's two.
I would guess, and I don't. I mean, it's a. We jokingly say it's a Kavanaugh bill.
Okay. Kavanaugh bill. He runs it every year.
John knows if he's listening. I know he's up in the valley, so I don't think that he is. But it's referred to as a Kavanaugh bill. And he is on that. He just goes he gets really upset when you, he stops at the stop sign, and he ran a bill. I shouldn't laugh because it's not funny. Okay. He ran a bill because people were pressing the cross the street.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Just to get the
just stop, to get the traffic to stop.
Just to get the traffic to stop.
Okay.
So does that? I mean, I don't want to put him in a dark light.
Right.
But he's. That's one of the things that he wants to go
after. All right, Paul, let's make up for lost time here. Giving you another couple questions for Senator Leach.
So one of the things that I wanted to know in part is, you know, the last legislative session really kind of, they pushed a lot of bills forward that were and then vetoed by Katie Hobbs. And so one of the things they did, of course, was when we talked a little bit about this with 314, 312, you know, and do you think that that's a good strategy going forward, or is that, does that kind of worry you, is that they, rather than making bills that can get past the governor, instead we're just sort of jumping to going, trying, attempting it through the voters?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I think we have to be very, very careful of legislating through pushing it all that way. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, while the Republicans maybe have the majority now, that pendulum goes both ways, and you have to be very, very careful. And the voters, you know, we only have a small portion of people that vote to begin with, mm-hmm. Maybe even a smaller portion that really know. You know, somebody said, how many phone calls, because you guys are active, I'm active, mm-hmm. you get a call, who should mm-hmm. I vote for? Mm-hmm. So that concerns me. The other thing is that there, I think that there were some very good propositions that were run that weren't going to get through. So that actually forced them. I am not in favor, and I don't think I have ever have run what I call as a message bill. Mm-hmm. And a message mm-hmm. bill simply is, you know, it's not going to be passed. Particularly when you have a split government, where you know it may get through the both chambers, your Republican chamber, and then goes up to a Democrat to put the Democrats on, you know, on the screen.
That's just kind of wasting everybody's time, isn't
Amen.
It?
Amen.
Yeah, isn't it a really message is. Bill? It's not going anywhere.
It really is, and I've never been in favor of it. I've never run it. That's different from running a vehicle bill that you can strike later. That's probably deeper than what we want to go in here.
What do you mean? Give us a quick, like, what is a vehicle bill versus a message bill?
Okay, what a vehicle bill is you put a vehicle bill out there that says, I want to do this, this, and this. A good example, many years ago, I ran a vehicle bill to study, most of the time they're study bills, to study desalinization. Mm-hmm. Just in case I needed that bill for something else. And in Arizona, you can strike. It's called a strike all. Mm-hmm. It's called a striker in the short term, but a strike all amendment. And you can amend everything but the title of the bill. And it confuses legislators. It confuses the public. It confuses the press. But it's an avenue to get around. You can get around committee chairman that way.
All right.
Okay.
Tom, let's take a break right here. And then when we come back, we're going to keep Senator Leach over for another segment. And Paul Ingram is here, senior reporter for TucsonSentinel.com. So we'll have another segment. And then we will have Weekend Watch coming up with Leslie Lois. And Leslie from 101.7 The Drive. So let's take the break here, and then we will have a wrap-up segment with Senator-elect Vince Leach and Paul Ingram from The Sentinel.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday edition. Our Friday focus interview, State Senator-elect Vince Leach, elected in November. He's going back to the Capitol, representing District 17. And Paul Ingram has joined us from TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. Senator Leach, what do we... we talk with the ASU economist, Dr. Hoffman, quite a bit on our program, and he says he's worked with the Joint Legislative Budget Committee in coming up with these budget figures for, I think he goes back to 1982. He says the picture looks pretty good for the state.
And I would agree. The last report that came out from JLBC, because they put out a monthly, on the 20th of the month, they put out a monthly of where we're at and where things look. One interesting fact that backs up what the professor said, remember when we had the major tax cut, the 2.5%,
right?
Everybody was worried and the sky was going to fall. They've also told me, JLBC has told me, that we were within $600,000 of being back equal with our individual income tax of where we were before we made, so we've gained that much. Grown that much.
Here's Paul Ingram.
Well, I mean, yeah, and one thing, what's the biggest hole in the budget now then? I mean, what's the thing that, that doesn't really add up? Or
two things that are on my radar. One is housing. And I'm not sure exactly, I don't have all the answers, but we can't build houses fast enough. Land is pretty much not available. There is some. There's pockets of land.
Back to what you said, that in Arizona, only 17% of the land is actually held in private hands.
So there's a lot that you can't build on. The other one I think we have to be always cognizant of is that access, otherwise known as Medicaid, because we're trying to put people to work, get them off of access. That continues to grow. And if you've looked at your private insurance at all, or your company's insurance, whatever you may have, and the cost of medical care, that is the one that is scary. We also have a lawsuit that is kind of buried in the weeds, but that's with healthcare for prisoners, and I believe it's at the Florence facility, and it's out there, and I don't know that it's been settled yet, and I don't know what the dollars are, but those kind of things, what I think about at night.
Doesn't prisons take up a lot of the budget?
There's education, number one, and number two, prisons.
And circling back about education, we had talked about one of the two pieces, yep, and the second, yep, piece, and we're quickly running out of time, yep, but summarize
that for us,
please.
We put in several years ago, before I was there, that you had to approve the budget. It's a formula based on growth, mm-hmm, and I'm trying to think of the acronym, but it was on growth and number of students, et cetera. We have to approve that budget every year, and it's become because there was enough room to grow where it was never a problem. Mm. If the education money goes over that amount, the legislature has to approve it, mm-hmm, which becomes a stumbling block. Mm-hmm.
It's become something that you have to do every year now.
Becomes something now. In 2020, not beating my own drums, but in 2020, I had a bill, and it's going to take a proposition to go to the voters that would revise it and give us some room out 5-8 years to get our arms around spending on K-12.
A little breathing room.
And then, yeah, COVID hit, and, yeah, that bill went away.
Are you going to reintroduce it?
It's not a bad idea. not a bad idea. So we have to, but we're good for this year because they passed it. They passed it already. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to have to leave it right there. Senator Leach, we'll be talking to you as the session progresses. My goodness, the state of the state is just like weeks away. So
13th, yeah, of January.
13th of January.
Happy, okay, New Year, everybody.
Happy
right?
New Year. Right?
Rock and roll.
And Paul Ingram, thank you very much for being a part of our stable of very wonderful reporters here in town who come on our program regularly.
Thanks for having
thank
me,
Thank you for your service. And TucsonSentinel.com, give you guys a quick plug. Running, what did Dylan say? 2-for-1 match, three for one.
It's essentially three. It's a three.
Give $100 and it's going to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it turns into real money real fast, so we appreciate it.
Good. So that goes through New Year's Eve. So you guys need the money to keep this thing going, and there's no paywall when people go on TucsonSentinel.com.
That's exactly. I think you say that's if you want to pay for the news, you can just pay us, and it's really easy, and it just pays for reporters who are here in Tucson.
Very good. Keep it local. Yes, Senator.
Thank you.
You're a reader of the Tucson.
I'm a reader.
There you go. You get your endorsement right there, Paul. All right. Take a break right here. We've got our Weekend Watch presented by 101.7 The Drive.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion regional transportation plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Away we go with Weekend Watch. Time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, which always makes a great getaway. It's only about a three-hour drive. It's basically hit I-10, then take a left up the mountain at Lordsburg, and before you know it, 45 minutes or so, you're up in Silver City, enjoying that mountain climate up there in the Gila National Wilderness. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, and start your planning for an enchanting weekend in, appropriately enough, the land of enchantment. And speaking of enchanting, the enchanting Leslie Lois joining us now in studio. We love Leslie around here at Bustos Media. She not only does a wonderful show on 101.7 The Drive, but she's a great person as well. Aww. Leslie, how are you doing? We got a great weekend lined up.
We do.
People cannot complain, Leslie, that there's nothing to do in
exactly,
Tucson.
Exactly, especially right. If there's people here from out of town.
Yeah.
What a great array of things to have to show off Tucson.
Yeah.
And the weather could not have be perfect, more perfect.
I know. It's the warmest place in the United States right now.
I love this. So, yeah. Well, tomorrow is a big one. It's the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of interest in it this year, I think because of Snoop Dogg. Mm-hmm. Now, the matchup is Colorado State Rams and the Miami Red Hawks.
From Ohio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the really cool thing is all the proceeds for this go to these Southern Arizona nonprofits around town. So that's pretty cool.
Games yeah, they're at- like the first bowl or the only bowl, I think, that goes entirely their net profits go to charity, which
yes,
is really cool.
It is really, yeah. really cool. Now, game is at 2:30 at Arizona Stadium. Tickets start at like $23 and go up from mm-hmm. there. Also, this is your last weekend. Actually, tomorrow is the mm-hmm. last day for Winter Haven.
Mm-hmm. Which is celebrating its 75th.
I know.
Anniversary of Cool Lights.
A friend of mine said she went and they Elvis. I remember the Elvis from years ago, up in the front lawn. That's still there. That house with the lights. The Elvis
That's
is still there.
That's a real tradition, right?
Yes, yeah. it is. That goes on 6 to 10. No drive-through nights though. So it's north of Fort Lowell, south of Prince Road, west of Country Club Road. I think everyone pretty much knows where Winter Haven is.
Yeah.
If you want to bring a donation for the community food bank, that would be much appreciated by them. And then something going on. I love that we have professional hockey in the desert.
I love hockey.
I know. Tucson Roadrunners back
you
in
from,
town.
You from Wisconsin, me from Chicagoland.
Yes.
We like hockey.
We like hockey. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yes, I'm a season ticket holder.
I know you are.
And we just, this weekend, they're taking on Colorado, actually. Tomorrow night, the game's at 7 o'clock, and it's Star Wars night. I love this. I think the first 1,500 people get a free lightsaber.
Oh.
I know. I'm cool. Like, I totally want one.
So the puck drops at 7.
7, yep,
but
7
get
o'clock.
There early to
absolutely
have fun.
And then they play an afternoon game on Sunday, which is nice. 4 o'clock, they're playing at the TCC, and it's always fun to watch some hockey.
Always a great weekend when there's hockey involved. And what about your live? You want to do a quick plug for 101.7, The Drive. You've got a live, in TV we called it a live shot.
But, yes, I'm going to be at Spirit's Child Metaphysical Gift Shop tomorrow from 11 to 1. She's got her year-end clearance going on. It's a really unique, fun store. You can find something for anyone.
15% off or something like
that. Yes, 15% great. Off pretty much everything in the store. And we're going to have some cool prizes to give
all
away,
right.
too.
We'll be listening for you. Leslie Lois, always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you,
Happy
Leslie.
New Year to you, too.
All right, the Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thanks to Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass and the entire team here at KVOI and Bustos Media, including Leslie Lois, all of us wishing you a joyous New Year's holiday week.